When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was feeling antsy on a ride home recently, and you know what helped me to breathe and find some peace and calm? Star Wars music, Star Wars soundtracks. John Williams, of course, being the composer of all 9 of the Skywalker films, Skywalker series. But yeah, I actually have finally, you want to talk about bucket list item. This is coming up in August. I have tickets to see John Williams himself. I should say tickets. I have ticket. I'm going by myself. Well, other friends are there, but I'm sitting by myself because I wanted to get close. Williams himself will be at Tanglewood in Western Massachusetts to conduct some of his own music. In fact, he'll be conducting symphony orchestra as they play his greatest hits. And producer Jay just told me that John Williams was the answer on Final Jeopardy last night. That's incredible. I haven't watched it since I lost Grammy Helen. She loved Jeopardy, and could get a fair number of the answers. But I haven't watched it in a long time, probably not since Alex Trebek. And maybe when Aaron Rodgers was hosting a little bit, just to kind of get a taste of that. But if the Final Jeopardy was John Williams, there's a good chance I would have been the big money winner. He's my favorite. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Friday to you. Good morning to you. I hope that you are raring to get through the day so that you can have a weekend. This will be my first weekend at home by myself in 3 weeks. I had family weekend, then Easter, then I was in Arizona. Of course, I will be headed back up to Syracuse University to be able to teach my class on Monday, but not taking any more time off until June unless something crazy happens. Like, for instance, my dog doesn't get better. Poor Penny. She's been kind of sick off and on for almost a week now. So I'm hoping that she is feeling better by the time I get home, by the time we get through Friday. On my to-do list for the weekend, so much yard work. My neighborhood exploded in spring green and flowers. Of course, it's yellow season now, pollen season. All of a sudden, the grass went from being slightly green, slightly growing, to a jungle. Dandelions everywhere. So yeah, I've got a lot of yard work to do on Friday. But it's supposed to be really nice, 75 degrees, pleasant to be outside. Sounds like a nice way to get out of bed and soak in some sunshine and fresh air. I hope that you have fun plans for the weekend. Actually, my other big plan for the weekend, other than some time on the phone and catching up around the house, Sunday will be 2 weeks until my next half marathon. So Saturday is my longest run to date in training. So Saturday will be about a 90-minute run. Unless I collapse, in which case it won't be 90 minutes. No. I think I'm good. I actually think that the hike down into the Grand Canyon and then back up, which was 9 miles round trip, obviously great respiratory training. And while we weren't running, we were definitely working our legs. And so I think that was a good way to break up the training. But yes, coming up Saturday, longest run to date, about 90 minutes, which will be about 9 miles-ish. In that neighborhood. So getting closer to the 13.1 that I have to run in 2 weeks. I don't run as in fast. I just don't stop. It's okay if I do a 10-minute mile, average somewhere close to a 10-minute mile, my only goal is that I don't stop. So a lot of time outside in my weekend plans. I hope that you also have some fun weekend plans as we get into some of the nicer weather for a lot of the northern climbs and then the heat and the humidity building in some of the southern climbs. I heard about some storms in Oklahoma. Of course, I lived there for 4 years, used to actually follow tornadoes and report on tornadoes as part of my job for a news and sports, as a news and sports director for a station out there. So I know as we get deeper into the spring, there's more and more of a chance for severe weather and tornadoes. So always thinking about friends and family that live in Tornado Alley. But it's Friday, trying to stay positive here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And if we're looking for some good news to start, did you see that the Chicago White Sox reposted an Instagram message from Liam Hendricks and his wife that was titled Remission? Pictures and video there as he was battling cancer. He has completed his chemo for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And in his latest Instagram post, and I quote, "It's official, I'm cancer free." I could nearly tear up just reading those words. He was able to finish his final round of chemo a couple weeks ago, and there's a video of him ringing the bell. Really great photo of he and his wife as he's still in his hospital bed, but he is cancer-free. And after going through that diagnosis and the treatment from January to April, while there's no real timetable for his return at this point, he's actually not on the long-term injured list. And so they're hoping to get him back. Coming off last year, where he was one of the best in the majors with 37 saves, you can imagine that the White Sox would be thrilled to have him as part of their bullpen again. But beyond that, cancer survivor is now part of who he is and will be an inspiration to others. So that's wonderful news about Liam Hendricks and his family. Cancer-free, officially in remission. So there, that's how we can start out a Friday. I hate to be the Debbie Downer who then changes the subject and pivots to men getting kicked in the groin, but that's just how we have to do it here on After Hours. This is Jay's favorite. Jay loves it when we talk about this. So I feel like if the first week of the NBA playoffs has provided this much spice, then we are in for it. We know about Draymond Green. Dre did not play in game 3 for the Golden State Warriors. We'll get to them coming up in their battle against the Kings. But Brooklyn, Philadelphia, series shifting to Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where the Nets were hosting, trying to make some inroads against the Sixers. But they feel like they got hosed, in a manner of speaking, when in the first quarter, Joel Embiid kicks Nick Claxton, or it was really more of a knee. It was a shin. He shinned him. He shinned him in the groin. And for some reason, did not get tossed. There was no flagrant 2, only a flagrant 1. Considering what Draymond Green got ejected for, which was, I would say, less calculated. Okay, I'm not saying he didn't stomp on Domantas Sabonis. I don't love how that whole thing went down. I've said it before. I think they both deserve flagrant 1. Sabonis was grabbing onto his leg intentionally. Dre stepped on him intentionally. But I didn't think that one was more egregious than the other. However, Dre's got a reputation. All right, we've been over that. In this particular case, Joel Embiid falls on the ground, and Nick Claxton steps over top of him, a la LeBron over Draymond Green in the NBA Finals going back a few years. And as he's standing on top of him, Embiid kicks his leg up in the air and connects directly. Well, maybe not completely directly, but connects in the groin area. And Nick Claxton's little Nets become a victim. It's a cruel, unusual punishment. But why are you standing over a guy? And whatever, if that's what you want to do because you think it's fun to posture, I would say, like the soccer players who line up and cover themselves when they're standing in the face of a free kick, how about protect your groin area, because you are asking for it. You're asking for it. If you're standing over top of a guy and his long legs are, I don't know why you would stand over top of a guy and not protect your area, considering that guys don't love it when you do that. What athlete loves it when someone postures by standing over top of them? And in the NFL, isn't that grounds for taunting? I mean, I'm not surprised that Joel Embiid kicked up at what was dangling over him. So Embiid gets a flagrant one, obviously does not get ejected, had to be careful the rest of the way that he didn't kick anyone else in the groin and then get ejected. And I don't believe necessarily in makeup calls. I'm not a big fan of that term. I think it's used too much, and it more than likely, in most cases, it's the things aren't connected. But then we get to the third quarter, and somehow James Harden gets tossed.
Five on the shot clock. James Harden dribbling with the right hand. Bangs into O'Neal. Offensive foul. Harden with his second foul. And the 76ers now with 8 third quarter turnovers. O'Neal is down. He's on all fours. Harden dribbled and pushed off, and that's what the foul was. And now Tony Brothers coming to the table, and it appears as they're going to review this play. Doc Rivers had the ball, Ben Taylor coming over to get it. And again, Tony Brothers donning the headset, and they're going to see if this goes beyond a common foul on Harden. And the referees reviewing this, looking at the monitor out at center court.
Penalty two. Harden is ejected.
Oh, my God. He's not just got a flagrant one. James Harden, it's a penalty two, and he's ejected. A flagrant foul, penalty two, and James Harden on his return here to Brooklyn has been ejected from the game. And they're waving the rally towels like good night, goodbye, see ya to the Sixers star guard James Harden. Oh, man.
I didn't hit him in a private area. Somebody's draped on you like that defensively. It's just a natural basketball reaction. And I didn't hit him hard enough for him to fall down like that. But for a flagrant two, it's unacceptable. Like, this is a playoff game. You've seen around the league things that are much more worse than what that play was. Honestly, I don't even think it was a foul on me. But, yeah, that's unacceptable. That can't happen, bro.
Did you get an explanation at all?
An explanation. But that's unacceptable.
Did you even think it was a possibility when they went?
No, down? I didn't even think it was a foul on me. You know what I mean? Somebody draped on me. Natural reaction is just use your off arm to get him off a little bit, and that was it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like no wind up, elbow, none of that. I didn't hit him in the private area, none of that. So that can't happen. It can't happen.
I didn't think it didn't wear anything, but they called him. And, you know, listen, I told our guys, you could see it early on. There's a lot of extracurricular activity going on our way, but you're up 2-0. You know, what do you expect?
So Doc Rivers didn't think either one was a flagrant. So there's a flagrant one and then a flagrant two on James Harden. And if you haven't seen the video, I mean, I'll be the first person to tell you, I don't love James Harden. I really don't. I dislike a lot of what he stands for on the basketball court. I don't know him personally, but I don't like the way he handles his business. But this was ludicrous. He has a defender up tight on him, and he swings through. It's one thing to punch a guy or kick a guy in the groin, and somehow that's only a flagrant one for Joel Embiid. But for James Harden, who's swinging through to try to create some space, as we've seen him do 1,000 times before, maybe more than that, and he connects with the groin of another guy, I mean, kind of. It looked more like grazing to me. But either way, there's lots of incidental contact in sports. Do we not think guys get hit or accidentally kicked or grazed in the groin all the time in football, in hockey? They're contact sports. When I played college basketball, high school basketball, whatever, I got hit in the chest all the time. It's part of the game. It's these are contact sports. To call that a flagrant two, and the definition of flagrant two is excessive and unnecessary. Excessive? He was trying to create space so he could get around the defender or shoot. But Tony Brothers, who is the crew chief, said based on the point of contact directly to the groin, it rose to the level of excessive and ejection. Okay, so applying that standard, how did the Joel Embiid kicking his leg up into the groin of Nick Claxton not rise to the level of excessive and ejection? Because it was also point of contact that was the groin. I'm confused. It's one thing to have these standards applied differently from game to game with its different crew chiefs. But in the same game, we're not even talking about same series. We're talking about same game. And you apply that standard to Joel Embiid and determine, no, it's not excessive and unnecessary. It's what? An accident? Strange. Strange. But you know what? Tyrese Maxey to the rescue. He had a personal, I think it was 10-point run, 10 points in a row to not only bring the Sixers back to the point, because they started trailing the Nets, actually. They got outscored by the Nets in the third quarter by 17 points. So not only, and Harden was playing well at the point at which he got ejected, not only did Tyrese Maxey personally erase the lead by the Nets, but then hit a huge three late in the fourth quarter to give them the lead. But because Joel Embiid was still around, well, he was still around to play D.
Here's Dinwiddie on a drive into the lane. Embiid blocks it. Embiid blocks it. And the Sixers get the ball. Tucker with it. Joel Embiid denies Dinwiddie. He came down. And Dinwiddie is blocked. He wants a replay to see if it's goaltending. It's not.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers radio. So about 8 seconds to go when that block happens. The Nets get the ball again, and what do? Turn it over on the inbounds pass. So I don't even remember who was inbounding it. I just remember that his target went one way and the ball went another. And the steal for D'Anthony Melton, right? And he goes down and he has the layup at the other end. So yeah, this was an opportunity for the Nets that they did not capitalize on. So the Sixers are now up 3-0. I can't imagine they're going to suspend James Harden after getting the flagrant two. Again, I'm his least biggest fan. And to me, that's ridiculous. I actually think the NBA should rescind the flagrant two and change it, which they can do. But Jacques Vaughn, he is not going to let this Joel Embiid thing go.
I don't think I've ever seen that in my career before. For a guy to intentionally kick someone in an area that none of us want to be kicked at or towards, and for him to continue to play. I've never seen that before. In a game, and a guy continues to be able to play.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised myself. But then you consider the 1-2 with Embiid, but then Harden getting ejected, and it's... It deserves an explanation. Not that it helps now, but it does, in fact, deserve an explanation. Embiid doesn't have a great shooting night, only 14 points, but 10 rebounds, couple of blocks in there as well. Man, it's Tyrese Maxey to the rescue. Another 25 points for him.
I think it's just our depth. I mean, PJ Tucker came back in. I don't know how much time was left, but the way he just rallied us, got every single rebound offensively, defensively, he was communicating his tail off. He made a big free throw too, but he barely scored a point, and that's what he does. Like, man, he impacted the game so much. And then our coaching staff, everybody stayed calm. Shout out to them, man. They called the right stuff, got guys in the right spots, and, you know, we executed.
So that series may be short-lived. The Celtics are trying to dispatch the Hawks, and boy, that would set up another Celtics-Sixers series in the second round. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS. No more blue check marks. We are free. We are unencumbered. Free to be. Free to fly. Free to be a different color, actually. We still have a check mark on Facebook, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Moody to DiVincenzo. The trailer's Curry. A deep three in front of the logo. Got it! Curry! 79-63. It's their largest lead. Curry with the dribble on Murray. Nine to shoot. Curry down the lane. The runner is up and good, and he got fouled! Underhand scoop. Len crashed into him. And Golden State leads by 17. Pass to the wing to Kuminga. Hands it back to Steph. Steph, a deep three. Good from the far hash mark. Curry with the ball. Finds Thompson right corner. Just fires away and hits a three. He wasn't even completely square to the bucket, Tom. Dante to Thompson. Takes a two. It's up and good on the right side. A 15-footer. It's 105-83 Warriors here in game three.
I saw the look on his face in huddles, and you know, he was breathing. He was kind of meditating during timeouts. I could see how locked in he was. And,
glad he was breathing.
It was terrific tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm really glad that Steph was breathing. Yes, please breathe. Maybe breathing was the key to him being really the only guy who consistently hit triples in last night's affair between the Kings and the Warriors. I am going to pass along some gaudy numbers. They're just gaudy, as in gaudy awful. So Steph hit six from beyond the arc. Okay, so Steph Curry, you take him out of the equation. He was 6 of 12. He's the only guy other than Andrew Wiggins, who just took three for six. But he and Andrew Wiggins were the only guys who hit 50%. When I say nobody else, I mean nobody else. The three-point shooting was so bad in this game, they missed, are you ready for this? 70 combined threes. 70! First of all, you shouldn't be taking more than 70 threes in a game, but the two of them combined to miss 70 shots from beyond the arc. My eyes! My eyes! Oh my gosh! You want to know how many they took? So they missed 70. Guess how many they took? Together, the Kings and Warriors jacked up 97 three-point attempts. I mean, that's obscene. It's just obscene. Who wants to watch that? Jay, can you think of anyone who wants to watch that? And this is coming from someone who really enjoys the Warriors brand of basketball, but that's ridiculous. 97 three-pointers.
At what point is it even the sport of basketball anymore? You're just walking up and down the court and chucking up threes.
Oh my gosh.
Is there even a game plan to that? You just go up and shoot. I don't know. I hate that personally.
No.
But
neither team shot above 40% in the game. But if you narrow it down to just three-pointers, the Warriors were 16 of 50. And the Kings were 11 of 47. Why do you keep doing it when they're not dropping? Oh, my gosh.
That's the serious question. I mean, if you're literally missing 30 threes in a game, and why don't you just try a layup maybe? I mean, I don't know.
No, that'd be too easy.
Open up the three again.
Oh my gosh. Steph Curry spoke to the NBA on TNT after he scored 36 and really did spark the Warriors, as we knew he could do. Andrew Wiggins had a great game too, but there was a mindset that they had to cling to without Draymond Green.
There's a lot of distractions and noise around the series. Obviously, you know, losing both games up there was a tough way to start, and you wanted to come home with some good, you know, focus, and then you get that call that he's just suspended, and it's a tough blow. But yesterday at practice, we had really good energy, understanding what the mission was, to understand we couldn't change anything about the decision that we knew was wrong, but that if we could come out and win tonight, it changes the momentum of the series, and it gives us an opportunity to just make it about basketball. And that was Draymond's message the whole time was, you know, make the right adjustments, come with the right energy, protect our home court. When he gets back on Sunday, we got to capitalize off of that and try to win and even up the series. So we did what we're supposed to do. They say, you know, Draymond's got a history. So do we. So we know how to bounce back.
Oh, man, I love that from Steph Curry. They say, and he could be referring to the NBA, who suspended Draymond in large part based on his repeat offender status. I've said the same thing. Maybe Steph's talking about the collective they. They say Draymond has a history. So do we. Oh. That's a zing. And they backed it up. But 97 threes. Oh, my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not sure what's worse. Producer Jay, what's tougher to sit through? 97 threes between two teams in a game or 71 free throws?
Ugh. 91 threes is rough because that's
no,
just...
No, 97.
97 threes is rough, but the free throws...
71 free throws.
I mean, that's just...
Then the game
stop,
drags.
Stop.
The game
start.
Drags.
You're
right.
Not even watching anything.
At least the game's moving with the threes because you're... Well, and you're not even using the whole shot clock, right? You're just running down the court 5 seconds, jacking up a three. Running the other way, jacking up another three. When it comes to the free throws, though, it's stop time. Stoppage time.
Yeah, the threes are... annoying. The free throws are almost torturous.
My gosh. Well, the Clippers lose. They don't have Kawhi Leonard, but they had Norm Powell scored 42 points. Hello, Norm Powell. And Russell Westbrook rides again. He had 30. Couple of guys off the bench. Bones Highland had another good game, but just not enough firepower against Phoenix. Though, they did pull within a handful of points in the fourth quarter and put some pressure. Just too much of Devin Booker. Man, he is rocking it right now. And so whenever they need an answer for anything, and he took 29 shots last night, but only 7 from beyond the arc, which means he's getting to the hoop. He's using his full arsenal, his full repertoire. And right now is the star of the show for Phoenix.
Just win at all costs. You know, that's our motto. We don't want to give any games away. You know, even though they're undermanned today, you know, we know those guys are still going to bring it. So, you know, we had to come with the hit-first mindset, and, you know, we just weathered the storm throughout the whole game.
Great performance, you know, in the playoffs like that on a roll, game 3, 45, with that efficiency, like, you know, it's almost, I expect stuff like this from him at this point in his career. But he set the tone, you know, getting to the rim, making plays for others, just controlling the whole game. And we're going to need him to continue to do that going forward.
Suns up 2-1 on the Clippers. If Kawhi doesn't come back, they're already without Paul George. They're sunk. They may be sunk anyway, but wowzers. Devin Booker right now is worth the price of admission. Okay, so we're going to pivot to football, but can I tell you the headline? This is clickbait. It's such clickbait. And as a victim of clickbait about Tom Brady and Gisele Bundchen in the not-so-distant past, I want to warn you away from this clickbait. This is Fox News. You ready for this? Tom Brady asked about unretiring and playing for the Miami Dolphins. Provides interesting answer. No, he didn't. He didn't provide an interesting answer at all. He didn't even answer the question. He started talking about his friends who play for the Dolphins and how he'll root for his friends that play for the Dolphins. He never answered the question. Jay, that's a bold-faced lie. Would you say that his answer was interesting?
Not particularly.
We heard his answer. It wasn't interesting. It was deflecting. It wasn't interesting. So he was at a global technology conference in Miami, and the host, the MC, delivers this gushing question about now that he lives in Miami, would he potentially come out of retirement or consider coming out of retirement to play for the Dolphins? And Brady laughs and then starts talking about how he has friends on the Dolphins, so he'll root for his friends who are on the Dolphins. That's all he said. Don't fall for the clickbait. It wasn't interesting at all. We fell for it. It wasn't interesting.
You suck.
Brady.
Brady.
Yes, a little bit of football news coming up. No, Aaron Rodgers is not going to the San Francisco 49ers.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
At least not yet.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
I mean, what better way to launch you forward into a Friday than to deem it a football Friday, a fancy football Friday, in wake of the voluntary OTAs taking place around the NFL and some of the big money that's flying around the NFL? It feels like a good time. It's always a good time to have QB News After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In light of the clickbait that's out there about Tom Brady, do not fall for it. He's not going to the Dolphins. He's not going to quarterback the Dolphins. No, in fact, it's Tua, who briefly considered retirement. He told us that when he spoke on Wednesday. Well, General Manager Chris Greer is explaining the decision that they made then to exercise his fifth-year option.
All options are on the table, like I said then, but, you know, for us, we decided that for us, and we always hope Tua will be here successful long-term with us. And at the end of the day, we made this decision and decided to move forward in the offseason to get going.
The Dolphins have said all along that they have faith in him. Even before Mike McDaniel got hired, we saw good things from the offense before the concussions. They put pieces around him like Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, believing that Tua is going to be healed and that this will be a positive experience for him in 23 and that he'll be able to reward the Dolphins' faith in him.
The most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. 40 for the AFC East, it's Buffalo Bills at the top, though. We know the Dolphins made the playoffs, but it's Bills at the top. And Von Miller, who I missed desperately, can't wait to see him.
Broncos country, what's up?
Back on the field again. He has total faith in Josh Allen as their fearless leader.
It's not that easy to win a Super Bowl. That's why it's so special when you get there. But I don't think it's more for us. I just think our perspective. I think it's just our perspective on how we go about our work, especially when, you know, the bullets start flying and everything start going late in the season. You know, we've had a great team for a long time. We just got to get back in the playoffs and just have another shot on goal. That's all it is. You know, Messi will shoot 6-7 shots a game and only hit one or two. Like, it's not gonna happen for us each and every time, but I still feel 100% confident in our team, 100% confident in Josh Allen and the weapons that we got.
Did he just use two analogies from the other football? I think he did. He said shot on goal, and then he talked about Messi. Ooh, Von Miller.
Messi.
On the Pat McAfee Show this week, ultimate faith. Well, I would have ultimate faith in the Bills defense, or a little more faith if they could get Von Miller back. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Big money flying around with Jalen Hurts this week getting the extension. So this happened Monday evening, the $255 million, but the $179 plus that is fully guaranteed. Howie Roseman is GM. He's the one who, along with Nick Sirianni, made this decision, and they're thrilled for Jalen. Don't think it will change a thing.
One thing you know about with Jalen is that the money is not going to change him. The money is not going to affect him. You know, my first conversation with him after he signed that contract, he was just telling me how determined he was, and I know how hard he's working in the off season. I know how much football matters to him. I know how much improving at football matters to him. I know how much he wants to be coached. I know, how important it is to try to deliver a championship to the city.
We didn't pay him more to do less. I'll say that, right? Will we still think about how to protect him? Yeah. because that's our job to protect our quarterback. But, you know, Jalen does a lot of things really well, and we want to utilize the skills that he has so he can continue to play at a high level. And so, you know, we'll continue to go about our business the same way we went about our business. We'll always think about protecting him first. But, you know, we didn't pay him more to do less.
I like how Nick Sirianni puts it. We did not pay him more to do less. 22 passing touchdowns versus 6 picks in 22. But then also 13 rushing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. And remember, the Eagles set a record for rushing touchdowns in a season. That includes playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl. Now, as for guys who get paid after Jalen Hurts, remember we talked about this earlier in the week. Of course, Joe Burrow would be the next one in line. Lamar Jackson is watching all of this faithfully. Justin Herbert's maybe a year away, but the Chargers are going to have to give him an extension as well. I keep thinking, when is Patrick Mahomes and his agent, when are they going to ask for either a renegotiated contract or think, why are we outside the top 5 in average annual value when we've got 2 NFL MVPs, 2 Super Bowl rings, and a Super Bowl MVP? Kansas City GM Brett Veach, well, he's keeping an eye on these contracts as they drop.
We have a special relationship with him and his agent, and you know, we're in constant communication. As soon as one guy gets done, it's kind of the blueprint and the model, and 2 years later, it's jumped and exceeded. And so, but you know, I think that this organization and the relationship we have with Pat will always be working to make sure that we're doing right by everybody. And you know, there'll be a couple more contracts that still have to get done, you know, Burrow and Herbert. And once they do, I think kind of look at everything and assess where you are and what you can do and take it from there.
I don't think Brett Veach is supposed to be talking about Burrow and Herbert. I think those are players on other teams. That might be against the rules. So Patrick Mahomes is well paid, and he's rewarding the Chiefs for what they pay him, but you never know. Could the Jaguars be competition for the Chiefs this year for supremacy in the AFC? Trevor Lawrence says, these are not your grandpas or even your dads or even your older brothers, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Last year didn't end the way we wanted it to. So it's, you know, obviously it was a good year for our team, for the city, for this organization, but there's more out there. And I think we've set a new standard of, you know, who we're going to be, the team we're going to be, and we got to start that way this year. And so that's the mindset, I think. We don't really think about those expectations much because all we can do is just try to keep getting better. And we know, for us, we feel like that's the floor. We know what we're capable of, and we've added more talent, and, you know, the sky's the limit for us.
Added Calvin Ridley. No joke. They definitely are a team to watch, a team on the rise, like the Detroit Lions in 2023. Also in the AFC, in the North Division, Kenny Pickett's personal QB guru, we'll call him a coach, his personal QB coach says you better watch out for the second-year quarterback. He is packing on the pounds and looking sharp this offseason. This was on our affiliate in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan.
I say he's like 226 probably right about now. Finished the year probably like 213, so about 13 pounds of. And again, he looks great. It's not like he went down and ate cheeseburgers and sat on his butt. You know, like he put some size on. He got strong. You know, the University of Pittsburgh strength staff is second to none. So he's one of those dudes where it's like, here are my goals, and I'm working, and I'm not stopping until I hit them. And that guy said, I want to be 225, 226, and he's sitting at 226 right now.
How about that? Packing on the pounds, looking awesome. Tony Rachapi, not exactly sure how to say his last name, forgive me for that, but on our Pittsburgh affiliate, 93.7 The Fan, yeah, I haven't gotten to the point where I've got all the names memorized of the quarterback's personal coaches.
Can't say enough about our young cube.
I love me some Pat P. Okay, so
I just love Pat P.
Last one we say, I feel like we've saved the best for last. Are you ready for this? Kyle Trask. He's now with the Buccaneers. He can't wait to compete with Baker Mayfield.
Hello.
For me, this is a good opportunity for me, like you said, and a great opportunity for me to compete with someone like Baker, who's definitely proven himself in this league. So it'll be very fun to, you know, get to know him and compete with him every day.
Don't really care.
Trask is, what is the second year with the Bucks? Second year with the Bucks. And he... I suppose because you weren't competing with Tom Brady, right? Like, we all knew that. But it's a good opportunity to compete with somebody who's proven in the league, like Baker Mayfield.
Boo the shit out of him.
Does he not know that Baker... Well, does he not know that the Bucks are the third team in a calendar year? Fourth team in a calendar year for Baker Mayfield?
See you guys on Monday.
Hey, I'm happy to be home. Oh, shit. Come on. Rams on three. 1, 2, 3. Rams. Oh, God.
It was like a few months ago. He was happy to be home with the Rams. That was after he had been signed by the Panthers and it did not go well. After he got cut by the Browns, it also didn't go well. And now he's with the Bucks, his fourth team in a calendar year. Now, I will say, I'm rooting for Baker because I want him to stick it where the sun don't shine with the Panthers and mostly the Browns. But are you kidding? You're excited? This is a great opportunity for you to compete with Baker. Well, again, maybe the idea, Jay, is that he didn't, there was no way he was competing with Tom Brady. So at least he gets to compete.
Notice he didn't say, I'm looking forward to learning a lot from Baker Mayfield.
My mentor, my new mentor,
didn't,
Baker
didn't
Mayfield.
Say he wants to learn from him.
No, but I think that's the idea. He actually can compete Baker Mayfield.
He's excited. I bet he is. He's got a chance to win a job.
He's thinking starting. Week one, that's what he's thinking. He, opening day starter, Kyle Trask. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!